Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing. Let your glory fill this place. Let this morning, let every word come into our spirits, come into our hearts. Let every word sink and take root in our hearts. I pray that the quality of quiet time will become predominant in our lives. That the secrets of the secret place will become predominant and a revelation in our lives this morning. May you make us hungry to spend time with you. I pray for a supernatural hunger to be released upon your people even this morning. A supernatural hunger into their spirits where they can be hungry for your word, hungry for your presence, hungry for the anointing, hungry for the things of God. Let a hunger be upon them. Let a supernatural hunger be imparted into their spirits this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Come on, church, just give a praise offering wherever you're at. I want to speak about quality time, but say with me the secret place. I'm not going to read through all these notes. I'm going to go quickly through them because there are some good points in them. But I want to minister to you. I want you to get a hunger to have quality, quiet time with God. Okay. When we're going to do the 40 days of word, we're going to actually challenge every person to just spend a half an hour with God a morning. Do you know how that will change your life? In the first week, you might feel nothing. But from that moment on, listen, most of the angelic visitations I've experienced was in a secret place. When I would be in my room, and I would be on my knees or on my face, I'd be crying, the presence of God would be there. Most of my experiences, I would experience in that place. That is, say with me these words, say, in the secret place, God lives. Say it again, say, God lives. Psalm chapter number 91, it says, he that dwells, with me on this Psalm chapter number 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm just waiting for the scriptures. He who dwells, say with me, dwells. That means to permanently abide. Not a short time visit, but to abide there. Are you guys with me? To dwell there. He who dwells in the secret place. In the secret place, there's a place that is called the secret. This is the place of the Most High. Now, I know I've preached on this before, but I'm going to go a different angle. Which means that the Most High owns the secret place. And when you live in that secret place, it's the secret place of the Most High. So, the Most High. When you go into that secret place, you go to the highest place that is in existence. God is the highest. It can be in your room. It can be in your car. It can be wherever. It can be at work and you have it an hour off. But you've set a place apart where it is for you and God. Are you guys with me? In Matthew chapter number 6, go with me to Matthew chapter number 6, verse number, let me just see here. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And I know it's not on the notes, I'm just reading a scripture, we'll get into the notes now. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut, say with me, into your room. When you have shut your door, I call the secret place the place of the shut door. That means that you shut the door to anybody in your life. Are you guys with me? Any friend, anybody, you shut the door to them. And it is you and God alone. When you spend time in this place, imagine it is you and the Creator alone, and that is it. When I always try to build an office at my home or however I can, whether it's in my garage or I have a spare room, but it's a place where I can be with God, and I try to have it where there's no sounds are coming in or anything because it's me and God. If I want to lie there on the floor for a few hours, I can do it. If I have a bed that I can lie on there, I can do it. But it's a place where God can dwell. It says the place of your shut door. Pray to your Father. Say this with me. Who is in the secret place? In the Greek, it says, who lives in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And we can go to verse 18. And again, it says, who's your Father who lives in the secret place. So listen. When I create a secret place, a place of quiet time between me and God, when I shut the door, the Bible says God is already waiting there for me. He lives there. So when you create a place is very important. A place, a time, and a purpose. You will see that Jesus did three things in his life. He had a place, when he prayed, a time and a purpose. He would go away with his disciples and they would have a certain place. The Bible says these words, we'll get into the notes. It says that where Judas betrayed him, it says Judas knew he was going to be there because he often went there with his disciples to pray. He had a certain place where they prayed together. Why? Because at that place they encounter God. Are you guys with me? Jacob, who was lying his head on the rock, and he had dreams and he saw an angel ascending and descending. And you'll see later on that he encountered God again there when he wrestled with him through the night. Same place. Why? Because that place carries an encounter. Make a place in your house where God can live. I don't know if I make sense. Religious people will tell me, no, but God lives everywhere. No. He is everywhere, but his manifest presence is not everywhere. The Bible says he makes his bed in hell. Even though he makes his bed in hell, he is there. Even though you've gone to the ends of the earth, he is there. He is everywhere. But his manifest presence is not everywhere. His manifest presence is not in every church. Are you guys with me? There are things that dictate, there are mechanics to his manifest presence. The presence where you can feel him. One of them is make a place in your house set apart where even you say, wife, you don't come in here. Wife says, husband, you don't come in here. This is not the place for family prayer. Are you guys with me? This is the place where you get intimate with God. And I didn't have a place, I had my car. I would sit in my car and I would worship. I would go park under a tree when it used to be safe in South Africa. And I would park under a tree. That was when I just got saved. And I would sit and worship for hours and hours and hours and read my Bible. But I had to create a place somewhere. In your house, you create a place that when you walk into that room, it is not like you have to go now and seek God in there. The Bible says God lives in the secret place. He is already there. Are you guys with me? But for you to have this in you, to have this hunger, it needs to be imparted. You need to catch a hold of this. Something needs to come into you to say, listen, I am hungry for more of God. I want something to stir up on the inside of me. That if you go, if you'd work the whole day on a Monday, it's like you can't wait to get back home because maybe that night you got, when everybody's asleep. I do that when everybody's asleep, I spend time with God. When there's too much noise, you cannot. It's too much distractions. Are you guys with me? It's a different route this morning, but I hope you're getting something out of it. And we have to increase. We have to increase the level of word. It is the word of God that improves, that matures people. It is the word of God that matures people. Are you guys with me? And that's why we try to give you the word, and at night we give you prophetic revelation. Rason, tonight I'm going to minister to you on the ability, the anointing to possess, to conquer, to take over. So, and our shirt says taking over. So, can you believe that we're one of the top 10 churches in relation to the statistics? And that was not somebody came in and took something like this. They're like, no. We had 50 people of the church filled in the statistics. Those people were the leaders, those who serve, you know, and most of those who serve, we couldn't get everyone, but most of those who serve. So that they took those statistics, and we were so high that we even went past 100. Some of you saw it. You know, it is very high, but the thing is to maintain and be consistent. So listen, let's go to the notes. So God lives in the secret place. I can see you want the notes, but I want to pray for you, so I want to go quickly through it. Let's go through the notes. The most important habit of your life, Dostoevsky said, the second half of a man's life is made up of the habits he acquired in his first half. The second half of a man's life is made up of the habits that he acquired in his first. Pascal also said, the strength of a man's virtues is made up of his habitual acts. There's habits that we as Christians can apply. Now listen, when it comes to the secret place, there is still, you're not going to walk into your room today and it's going to be lightning and thunder from the throne room of heaven. There's a place where you have to create a habit out of it. Are you guys with me? Cultivating an atmosphere. The way I cultivate atmosphere, we have music when I preach. We have great praise and worship. We're cultivating an atmosphere that can carry God. Where were we? So we're going to teach you. But say with me, habits. So Daniel, as a custom, he prayed 3 times a day. Point number 2, Jesus went to church regularly. We see this habit also. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Point number three, Jesus went on prayer retreats also regularly. It says when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who betrayed them, also knew the place. Say with me, the place. There's a place of prayer that is just for you, whether it's in your house or wherever it is, but it's a place of prayer. That when you go to and you pray, in that place, that is where God answers. Are you guys with me? For Jesus often met there with his disciples. He often, so that was the custom. I'm going to go through these things for you. Listen, 10 things that every Christian should know about habits. It is an act that is repeated easily. It is an act that becomes a custom. Point number three there, it is an insignificant act that seems to have no power to affect the future, yet it has amazing power. It seems boring, but if we keep on consistent in it, it begins to change our lives. Are you guys with me? Point number five there, it says good habits are repeated as easily as bad habits. But then it says bad habits lead to consistent failure and defeat, where good habits lead to consistent success and victory. Point number eight, bad habits are easy to form, but difficult to live with. Good habits are difficult to form, but easy to live with. It is difficult to say, I'm going to take a half an hour of my day to read the word and pray. But it's easy to say, for 2 hours, I'm going to watch TV or this or that. Are you guys with me? You know, when God speaks to a person, he speaks on your inner vision screen. Most of the time, you get open visions, closed visions, and an inner vision. When you get an inner vision, how many of you have ever seen when you dream, REM, I think it is REM dream. How many of you have seen your eyes go like, if it's closed, the person's eyes goes like left and right, up and down. Many think it is because that's how we move and run in the dream or whatever. It's not. What is happening in, this is what the scientists will tell you. And scripturally, this is how dreams work. When you close your eyes, in your REM stage, you dream. But it's your eyes go up and down, left and right, because you're seeing on a TV screen something that is playing out. And you're watching it. That's what scientists say, what happens in REM. In an inner vision, when you have an inner vision in you, God can speak to me now, standing here, I can see something, I can look at a person, I can see something in them. It is because it's playing out on the inside of me. I don't know if you guys understand. I don't know what got me to that point. Let me just see. Oh yeah, so habits. So habits are difficult. It's difficult to say, I need to read my Bible, pray for 30 minutes a day. If you do that, amazing things will begin to happen with you. The only problem is we want to do all these supernatural, spectacular things, but we don't have a root when it comes to the Word. We don't have a root when it comes to character, it comes to a custom of our habits of praying and where God can, where I can spend time with God. That is where I have never seen a life changed without being in the secret place. When somebody's really saved, they'll have a hunger to spend time with God. When somebody's really saved, when their nature has changed, there'll be a desire here that'll spend. Now, if that desire is not here, you have to stir it up again. Are you guys with me? It is like being in love with your wife. You can be so in love before you're married, then you get married, you can be on the honeymoon season, but then you fall out of it, and you have to push yourself to get into it again. It's the exact same way with a relationship with God. Are you guys with me? Okay, so we can go there to point number 10. Habits are a safety procedure for Christians. Every successful Christian has a number of good habits. I said this, I've never seen a person that has not spent time in the secret place. I've never seen a successful Christian that has not spent time in the secret place. It is the secret place that makes you, that shapes you, that forms you to be used by God. It is the secret place. It is like, I preached a message on it. It is like a womb that gives birth to something. You have to be in this. Listen, the secret place is what we call the hidden place. Are you guys with me? King David says, hide me in your presence. It is the hiding place. It is when you're not yet in public ministry. Nobody sees you praying at home. Nobody sees you reading your word or you're hungry. It is God that is hiding you in darkness to begin to form you. When a baby is in a womb, it is in darkness and it is being formed until the time when it can come out. When that baby comes out too early, it has to go into an incubator. When a person comes out of the secret place too early, what do I mean by that? They just want to go into ministry. They are prematurely born. And they have to be put into the same circumstances that duplicates the womb. Are you guys with me? That mimics the womb. for that baby to be formed. So this is what happens in the quality quiet time. It must become a habit in our lives. Listen, on the next page, page 3, your personal time with God. Quality quiet time is time you spend with God alone. If anybody were to ask me what the greatest secret of relationship with God is, I would say without any hesitation that it is the power of quality quiet times, the secret place that I have with Him every day. I usually create a place for me personally when I can spend time alone with God. My office at home is that place now. I call that my secret place. I told you this before. 7 things that happen. Listen, I'm going to go through the titles really. 7 things that happens during quality quiet times. When you spend time with God. And listen, get ready to say with me daily. It must be daily. It cannot be weekly. But when you make it a habit, that daily, you're going to take those hours and I'm going to read so much of the word. I'm going to pray. And it's not a mechanical thing. It must happen. What I usually do, me personally, I will get in, I'll put worship music on and I'll begin to worship God. Then I'll begin to pray in other tongues. Then I'll begin to worship God more. And then I'll just rest and just relax. And then I'll begin to read the word. And I'll read the word in depth. I'll take 2 or 3 or 4 chapters and I'll get revelation. And then I'll pray again. And then I'll talk to God in our normal English language. And then I'll pray in tongues and I'll worship Him again. And I'll do it over and over and over and over until His presence gets stronger. People think you must just sit down and read your Bible. No. Have a relationship with Him. Sit there and begin to sense His presence. I would sit in my room and be like, God, I cannot sense You. I cannot feel You. And I'll press in until I can feel Him. I would press in until I can get a vision. I would worship until I feel the presence of angels that is around me. I would be in my prayer time that sometimes I can feel something brushing past me, walk past me. You know, in the old church, we've had it a lot. Many of you experienced it in the old church. It's like something would blow past you. It's the presence of angels. And the more sensitive you become to it, the more God begins to, you attract God's presence. The thing is, many people, all we do is we talk about the devil, talk about the devil. We begin to attract, you know, when people walk into a house, and many of you are like that, eh? You walk into a house, you're like, I can feel there's demons in this house. Why don't you say, man, the presence of God is in this house? I'm not saying you have to lie, but what you speak and sense all the time is what you will attract. So all we speak about is demons, we attract demons, and that's why we see it. But if I speak the presence of God, if I speak and say, I know that when I walk into this church, even last night, before I went to bed, what I would see this whole service played out. There's a place, and I'll speak to that. Listen, we'll do a series on visions. I don't know if I should do it to the whole church or to only some that are hungry. Just some that are hungry. How to have a vision. That how to, when you close your eyes, to see. If I have to ask you to close your eyes, and please, this is not visualization. And visualization is fully scriptural, okay? But it is not visualization. It is imagination. Because the entry into the spirit world is through imagination. Are you guys with me? When I was walking up to somebody, and I think it was in here, and I said to them their name, I imagined their name being that. Are you guys with me? That's how the prophetic word, that's how visions work. So there are 5 levels. It works with your mind. It works with thoughts. It works with many things. Your mind, many Christians say through your mind. I was following a great man of God, still a great man of God, but they'll continually say you must throw your mind out of it. You must cut off the voice of your mind. No. God speaks through your thoughts. And when I changed that, prophetic doubled in my life. Because I can walk up to someone, I can just think, maybe this is a John. You know what? It might just be a John. That's how God speaks. He speaks through thoughts in your head. Where was I? Oh, yes. Visions. Let's go back to the... Say with me, secret place. This develops in the secret place. So during quiet time, 7 things that happen. During quiet time, you develop the most important relationship of your life. 2, quiet time makes you develop the most important personal habit of all time. A regular time with your Creator. 3, during your quiet time, you draw near to God and He draws near to you. Oh yes, I wanted to say last night I was lying and I was visualizing this whole service exactly how I was going to do. Then the Holy Spirit comes in, then He will tell me who will sit where, who might not be there, who will be there, and I can see it and it happens. Now imagine if I can do it at the service and I say to my team, where we are now, I saw ourselves 10 years ago, I saw myself here. 4 years ago, I saw this place, I saw the red and I saw the black, 4 years ago maybe, 4 years ago. And then I thought it was for then, and I wanted to create something like that. But it wasn't the right time yet. When we got into the building, I saw it. So if I can see something and even build it, because your words have creative ability. That's the only thing that God has extended to you as man, that is part of Him that is creative. Because when God says, light be, light was there. Now you have a language. You're the only species with a language that has a vocabulary. Are you guys with me? Your words have creative ability, which means that whatever you see, you begin to speak. When you speak it, it is formed and it is created. Now there's a time lapse. It can take 10 years, 5 years, or 3 years, depending on your revelation, depending on the energy or the force, the will that you have in speaking that, depending on the word that you have in you. You can speak your future into existence. Are you guys with me? And only the people that have a problem with this is those who have a problem with money. It's amazing, you know? And I know there's no one like that in ECC. I might get one email, but I hope there's nobody like that here. But you can speak it into existence. Speak it, speak it, speak it. Not name it, frame it, claim it, Christianity. No, no, no. What you see. Are you guys with me? Because when you see into the Spirit, that is what God wanting you to do, to go with me. And then you begin to speak it. The biggest realm of vision is daydreaming. I just gave you a biggest secret, okay? So go and have a successful life. It's daydreaming. Imagine, everything you daydream comes to pass. Well, those who run after it. I daydream all the time. Sometimes, and now it's like different, but I remember like the last 2 years, and some people would talk to me, and I'll just be like, I don't know. Because I was dreaming. I was living in a rayon that we will still preach to you about. It's when you see something in your mind's eye, and it becomes more real than the physical realm, that even some people must say, hey, are you with me? You're like, yes, I'm here, sorry. I was just living there. I was bringing, listen, do you know tomorrow is not tomorrow? Let me say it like this. The Bible says tomorrow, do not worry what you will wear or eat or drink, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Am I right? Are you guys with me? Tomorrow will worry about its own. How can tomorrow worry? Unless it's a living entity that already exists, which tells me your tomorrow is already existing, because it's already worrying about something. Tomorrow is an entity that is alive in heaven, that is already worrying about your things tomorrow, which means that you can see it and you can live there, you can speak to it, and you can create it. Are you guys with me? Okay. So, during quiet time, you draw near to God and God draws near to you. Point number 4, a quality time makes you read the most important book in the world, the Bible. We're going to do 40 days in the Word. Point number 5, a quality time is your personal school of the Word. Point number 6, during your quiet time, you increase in your personal knowledge of the Scriptures. Point number 7, during your quiet time, you experience the presence of God. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the Scriptures. You have the notes to take home. But I want to get to some points here. Point number 3 there, at the bottom of the page, there's quality time. Quality quiet time will allow you to avoid shallowness. Say with me, shallowness. You know, some Christians have depth, some has not. Some preachers have depth, some have not. Those who have depth is because they are spending deep time with God in the secret place. And I want to challenge you, even after the service, we're going to pray for you. Go, and you don't have to do it today, but go Monday or do it tonight, but say, God, by that day, Monday morning, whether you go to work and you are an early person, say by 4 o'clock, just 30 minutes, I'm in alone, a room alone, and wait on God. I'll teach you how to wait on God. It's not sitting and waiting, okay? So, and you say, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to spend time with you. Or in the evening, maybe the evening is the best for me, but make an appointment with God, and you will see how you will come into that place. And say, I will not leave this room until I can feel you, until I can experience you. And that'll increase and increase and increase and increase. I was once in my room, and I was on the floor, and the power of God was strong. I mean, I was doing a conference for Pastor Mark, and it was one of my first conferences. It was many years ago. The power of God was strong in my room. And I remember lying on my floor, and it was like water flowing. All of a sudden, I see a woman that is like crippled, like in a wheelchair or something, and I see myself pulling her out, and she starts walking. I see it. And she starts walking. And the anointing is strong in my room. I was for 4 hours just lying on my floor, just worshiping him, praying. And the presence of God was there. It's useless to do this without the presence of God. As I walked in the meeting, there was a lady with a broken hip, fully broken hip. And she was, I don't know if she was in a wheelchair to walk or something, but she was crying. And as I walked past her, it only happened the fourth night, but as I walked past her, I remember taking her by the hand. And I remember what I saw in my prayer room. because I saw it, it already happened. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This lady began to stood up that I could hear the bones go like, and John Henry had a broken hip. This lady's hip was broken. If you don't believe me, we were in Krugersdorp on Tuesday night, and her son came and said to me, Leon, my mom was the one whose hip you were broken. Whose hip you prayed for, and it's completely healed. She was supposed to go in for a hip replacement. She didn't have money. Hey, I'm not speaking about a bad back pain. I'm speaking about a broken hip, where she began to run with me around the church like this. And you have 500, and listen. But the worst thing is this, that she stood up. The miracle was not the standing up. The miracle was the walking without pain. When she stood up, the whole church started screaming, and nothing had happened yet. And I was like, you know, because what do you do if the woman is not healed? 400 people screaming, jumping, screaming. And then, but something happened. I felt the power coming on us. And she began to run with me around the building. But I saw it in the secret place, spending quality time with God. What you see in the secret place, it has already happened, which means that you will only then be prepared to go into it. Are you guys with me? So begin to develop your imagination. Begin to develop daydreaming. I daydream my secret place, but I worship God. I mean, it's like 1 hour, 2 hours, and the presence of God is there. All I do is I just see. Sometimes I walk in the big church that we'll have, and I walk through, and I see this. I see the people being equipped. I promise you, I see it all the time. I'm building my future. It has worked for me up until now. It'll work up until the... Are you guys with me? So quality, it begins to deal with shallowness. Listen, seven symptoms on the next page, seven symptoms of shallowness in Christians. We're almost done. Number one, they have a lack. When a person is shallow, a Christian, and they don't spend time in the secret place, they have a lack of knowledge of the scriptures. Number two, they have an inability to quote scriptures. I can ask people, I would be amazed, I put in the notes, I would ask people, what does 1 Corinthians 12 say? And they just look at me, and they're Christian for like 5 years. And I say, what does 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 say? John 3 verse 16, maybe they know. But John 1 verse 12, what does that say? They just look at me. When I got saved, the first thing I did when I made my whole room was my place where I spent time with God. I would write down scriptures that affected, if I battled so much with rejection, I would write every scripture that's against rejection. I would study my Bible. I would, that time, well, it wasn't really Google. I would study that my Bible and try to get the scripture, and I would write it big and put it on my walls, all over my room. It looked ugly, but I was living in an outside dirty room, and I put it all on my walls. And I would memorize the scriptures. I have my Bibles now where my back pages of my Bible is fully written with scriptures that I memorized. If it comes to that, I'll memorize it word from word from word. Because it is the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, that divides spirit and soul, that divides and makes you spiritual. It pierces. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you guys with me? Spirit and soul, bone and marrow, thoughts from the mind. That's what's bringing, and that began to dealt with the rejection in my mind. But I didn't. Nobody had to force me to do it. Nobody had to tell me to do it. There was a hunger in me that caused me to do it. While everybody would go out and spend time with themselves watching movies, I would be spending time in a secret place, and they used to mock me for it. Inability to pray for at least 1 hour a day. Very few Christians can pray 1 hour a day. Inability to lead and teach after being a Christian for 2 years. There are some people that have been Christians for 5, 10 to 15 years and they cannot lead or teach yet. A lack of interest in Christian books and sermons. I told you, we got books there, and most of the people that I disciple, I'll tell them, listen to this person's sermons. What I do, I'll sometimes sit under anointed sermons day after day after day. The things that you see being preached out here, most of it I learn from anointed sermons. Are you guys with me? That is how I grow. Inability to worship God. Worship comes, they cannot raise their hands. In fact, they cannot even close their eyes. Just looking at people. I would see it sometimes, you know, I wouldn't tell you where the people are sitting there. We have a certain place in our church, I don't know, that where people sit that, you know, where they can't worship. It's like, I can see that block. They're just standing. It's usually new people or in the back. It's like, don't worship God. Can't connect with Him. Connect with Him. Are you guys with me? I say raising of hands is because I like raising of hands, because the Bible says lifting up of holy hands, the Holy God will come in. But you can get people, they don't even have to raise their hands. They can connect with God. They can close their eyes. They connect with Him. but many believers can't connect with Him. Inability to fellowship regularly. Some people, when your fellowship with believers is interrupted, it is because of a lack of time in the secret place. So point number four there, I want to close off with this so that I can pray for you. It says the master strategy, I wanted to put this in, to having a successful quality quiet time. A master strategy to have a successful quality quiet time. And in the back of your book there, it says strategy number one, set a practice, unchangeable and regular time for quiet time. Make sure that you say every day by that time, that is me and God. Not children, not spouse, you and God, and see how you will grow. If you battle with that, go to somebody, a Christian believer, another Christian friend that can help you, and you guys pray together, like Marie and them as prayer meetings, Chris and them as stores, Jeff and as prayer meetings, and all over him, the home stars. Go to somebody that can help you spend time with God. But you say this time, and if you miss it, you miss it. Don't feel condemned. You try the next day again. Are you guys with me? But you say that time is me and God. And when you respect an appointment with God, see how God will respect you when you need Him. Are you guys with me? Strategy number two, withdraw from the presence of other people. It must be alone. It can't be with other people. Even cell phones, you know. I want to challenge us when we get into the 40 days of word. I mean, maybe we'll sell a Bible for you or something, okay? But I want to encourage you to bring a Bible. Why do I say that? There's something in a book. I have Kindle books on my phone, and I have like, I think 400 Kindle books on my phone. It's only because it takes, Amazon is ridiculous in South Africa. So, you know, many of these books you can't even get on Kindle. We have to order on Amazon. It costs you 450 rand just for one small book. It's ridiculous. Why I wanted a bookstore, because when you have a book, there's something in a book. Paul said, bring me my parchments. He had books, he had scrolls. When we have a Bible that we can read out of, I know the cell phone, we're in an age where there's cell phone, Bible, and a cell phone is good. Okay, the only thing is the battery can die, but it's good. Like in terms of, the only problem is, I'm speaking about distractions here. It's good for if you're out, maybe in a church or somewhere and you need to get a scripture. But spending time on it and you check Facebook, this one said this, and you go into Facebook. And God is gone right there, that moment. SMS comes through, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's called distractions. And when you want to spend time with God, you'll find the most distractions. Are you guys with me? Because the devil hates it when you spend time in the secret place. So that's why I encourage somebody, get a Bible. Even in church, get a Bible, underline, because you begin to know where the scriptures are. You begin to memorize it. It gets into you. There's something that's on a book. And I know this is not because I'm getting religious. That's just, you know, we have come to a generation. If I say lift up the Bibles, there'll be 10 people lifting up their Bibles in this building because there's nice scriptures on the screen. You get nice notes. So I thought, no. Next time I do notes, I'm going to leave the scriptures out with a line. That's it. And I'm not even going to put it on the screen. I'm just going to read it out of my Bible. And it will force you, and then I'll force you to bring it up. Sometimes I might just misquote the scripture or something. But I'll do something, okay? I understand the digital age, but there's something in the Bible. I love Bibles. So strategy number two is withdraw from the presence of other people. Be alone. Strategy number three, the last one, create. Everybody say with me, create. When you create an atmosphere that is conducive for the presence of God, you must get into your room. What I do is I put music, I create it, I put music on. I make everything good. The place where I pray, I try to keep it the cleanest. It's not because I'm religious, but it's my place that I want to spend with God, the Creator. I promise you, even if our President Jacob Zuma would come to your house, you would clean it. Okay. But when God comes in, we don't even keep our appointments. He's the one who created Jacob's room by the presence. He's the one who, there's something in the secret, say through the secret place. I want to challenge you. Every Christian I've seen growing, and I've been in this thing for a long time in ministry, I've seen most of my friends wiped out. Spend time in the secret place. Spend time in the Word. The secret places where you can lie, you can read the Word, the presence of God can come and rest on you. There's no distractions. You can think upon Him. You can think upon things. You can do a lot of, you can write scriptures out. You can underline your Bible. You can listen, even listening to sermons. It's a time of spending time with God. Are you guys with me? So I want to pray with you for importation for that. If you're saying to me, Leon, I want to have an importation right now for that hunger to be stirred up, for that hunger to be created in me. I need it to be implanted into me. Listen to me. I will pray for everything to be put into you right now, for that hunger to be stirred up. If you can just raise your hands for me, if that is you. I want you just to come to the front. Just come to the front. Come and stand. If it's everybody, it's fine. If it's just a few, it's fine. Doesn't matter. Let's come to the front. I have to lay hands on you quickly. Let that hunger be put into you. One of my biggest strengths has always been secret time with God. In the secret place with God. One of my strengths, my biggest strengths in Christianity has been this thing that I just told you. Father, right now, every person here in front, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, say, Holy Ghost, place a hunger in me to spend time with you. I receive the impartation of the secret place. Let a hunger be in me that pulls me to spend time with you. Increase that hunger. In Jesus' name, I receive. I open my spirit. Holy Spirit, make a hunger. Say with me, say, create a hunger in me. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray. Create a hunger inside of them. Let a hunger come into their hearts again. Let the first love be birthed again. Let a first love for you, more than what it is for their husbands or wives or for their children. Let the first love for you be ignited like never before. Let it be stirred up. Let it be ignited. As I lay my hands on them, even before I lay my hands on them, put it into them. Let your presence go into them. Let that hunger in their most inner being, in their spirit, be activated. In Jesus' name.